Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Romans, the 6th chapter, the 8th and the 9th verses. And it says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." The Storytelling Time program this week is a continuation of the story coming from chapter 9 entitled Coming Together in the book Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? The sequel. The title of the story today is Coming Together, Sandra and Mitzi. Before we start with our story, I will give you some tips that have helped me become a writer, and maybe you can use some of these tips in your writing efforts. Consider the following ideas on becoming an author. Number one, read something that interests you every day. It may be a part of a book, a newspaper, or a magazine, or something on the internet. Number two, watch movies that have strong plots or storylines. Take special notice of the movie's introduction, middle portion, and ending. These are basic divisions within a well-written book. Number three, collaborate with a person who is knowledgeable about writing and be mentored by that person. Number four, think about telling your own story through an autobiography. Think of experiences in your life that may be extraordinary or even miraculous, with the purpose of documenting those experiences by the written word. Number five, if possible, enroll in a class that teaches writing proficiency. And number six, try doing much of your writing in the morning just prior to arising from bed, or at this time, in an area of the house where you're totally isolated. The quietness of the morning hours can assist you in concentration and remembering the things that you ultimately want to write down. Now, we'll be back with our story after a break. Welcome back. Even though Matthew had died, Missy continued to sense his presence and spirit. That is to say, she believed that if we die in and with Christ, then we shall also live with him. And that was what she believed, even now, that Matthew was and is alive in Christ. Nonetheless, it would be a lonely road for Missy, because she still had a natural desire to be loved. So her focus was on this life and making the most of it. Missy was most concerned about her family coming together, but she understood an important precept that she learned from her church, and that is, everything will work itself out for good if you are sincere about receiving God's love and doing to the best of your ability what he has for you to do in this life. Missy felt that daughter Maggie had done that, being sincere in her faith, and she had married what she called the man of her dreams. While it took Missy a while to get used to that title for Fred, a man of Maggie's dreams, she eventually warmed up to him and treated him every bit the same as she had treated John, her other son-in-law who died tragically in an automobile accident a while back. Most of the days for Missy were routine. She retained much of Matthew's memorabilia. She wanted to be reminded of his presence, his physical presence, as well as anything else that reminded her of him. Primary among these items was the plant with a straw hat on a thin wooden stick rising from its base that she purchased from a local grocery store shortly after Matthew's funeral. It reminded her so much of him, and it gave her the emotional release that she sorely needed at that time. She wept profusely as she returned home from purchasing the plant that day. She wanted the straw hat plant, as she called it, to be kept as a part of Matthew's mementos, which allowed her to keep some sense of his presence with her. Missy continued to attend Mark Methodist, which by now had changed pastors. The pastor for many years, John Sr., had long ago ended being the pastor of the church and was now at a convalescence home in the city. She would faithfully go by to see him on occasion. Yes, life for Missy was routine, with Maggie still coming to see her on some weekends. But now her visits were less frequent, partly because she was no longer involved with her former coworker, and partly because of her renewed relationship with her husband, Fred. She just wanted to be home with him more often. Sandra, on the other hand, came to see Missy often, usually on weekdays. She was a big help to Missy, as she had been when Matthew was alive. On those occasions when Sandra was not working at the church, she made the one-hour drive from Detroit to Flint to see Missy. She had been given a key to Missy's house, so when she would come to see her, she could enter the residence on her own, if needed. On most occasions, however, Missy would be home and Sandra would simply ring the doorbell. On Sandra's most recent visit, however, there was no answer after several rings. She thought that it was strange because Missy's car was still in the driveway. Sandra assumed that Missy was inside, perhaps taking a nap as she did often. Sandra would be surprised, to say the least, at what she saw next. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. After getting no response from ringing the doorbell several times, Sandra used her key to enter Missy's house. Another odd thing that Sandra noticed as she came in was that the water faucet in the kitchen sink was still dripping. She went there and turned it completely off. Then Sandra called her name, Missy's name, several times.
Missy! Missy, I'm here!
As she proceeded to walk towards Missy's bedroom, Sandra got no response from calling her name. Then Sandra noticed that the bedroom door was open. She walked inside and saw Missy lying on her stomach, as if she were taking a nap. Sandra yelled out again, this time even louder.
Missy? Missy, I'm here. Get up and we can go to the grocery store and get some items for the weekend.
When again Missy did not respond, Sandra went closer and gave her a nudge. When Missy still didn't respond, Sandra became concerned. Missy appeared so still, without any movement. At that point, Sandra remembered seeing on TV how detectives would check crime victims who lay motionless to see if they were conscious, or alive for that matter. She noticed them placing a finger on the victim's neck to check their pulse, to determine if there was any life. Well, that's what Sandra did. She placed a finger on Missy's neck and did not feel a pulse.
Oh my goodness! Oh Lord! Could she be dead? Oh my!
Yes, Sandra thought, then spoke softly, the unthinkable. She wondered, could she be dead? At that thought, Sandra didn't hesitate. She called emergency personnel.
Your local paramedics here. May we help you?
Yes, I'm with her. I'm with my friend. She's motionless and non-responsive, and I'm afraid for the worst. Could you come here quickly? I'll give you the address.
Yes, we will be right there. It will only take a few minutes. Yes, just give us the address.
Sandra did give the address, and the conversation ended. During the 10 minutes it took them to arrive, Sandra was left alone with Miss C to ponder the possibility that her friend was gone. She didn't want to accept what was going on in her mind, that Miss C had died. She wanted the professionals who would soon be there to confirm what she had feared. The wait didn't take long, and the paramedics soon arrived and did an examination on Miss C. Meanwhile, Sandra waited for them to tell her something. They quickly did what they had to do, probably as they did countless times in similar situations on a daily basis. After doing their work, they came over to give Sandra the answer she did not want to hear.
We're sorry to say, miss, that this lady is dead.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Menzie. Menzie.
Her next of kin needs to be notified. Are you that person? And if not, do you know who to contact?
Yes, sir. I mean, no, sir. I'm only an acquaintance, but I can contact the next of kin. Yeah, I'll do that. Oh, my Lord.
We can contact the local coroner to relieve you of that responsibility.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sandra's reaction was one of sadness, but she had been taught by Missy herself that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. She believed that Missy was present with the Lord in spirit, while her body was just lying there as if she were taking one of those naps. So peaceful. While Sandra did go through a moment of grief as the paramedics gave her the news, somehow she felt at peace, which was something she could not have understood before. Her spiritual change of heart that began with Aaron on the beach back in Bermuda. Sandra also found solace because of her own brush with death. She was given a negative prognosis because of her defective liver, but she had recovered largely, she felt, because of her newfound belief, her faith. Yes, to believe what might seem to be impossible, whether the death of a loved one or a negative prognosis from a doctor. Sandra had overcome that fear, and it showed now in the peace she was feeling. Sandra understood that Missy had made her transition from a life of flesh and bone to one of spirit, a spirit that Jesus had said would never die if we live and if we believe in him. Sandra now had the responsibility of informing Maggie about her mother's death. And when she did tell Maggie, together they helped plan the final services. That was the way Missy would have wanted it, Sandra being included with all the other siblings in that responsibility. Unlike when Matthew passed, Sandra kept her composure through it all, in part because she had received a lot of wisdom from Aaron, the innkeeper on the beach back in Bermuda. Sandra overcame the experience of her friend, her surrogate mother's passing, and endured at such a somber time. She knew that Missy was in a place where, as the scripture states, no eye has seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love him. She also knew that finally, Missy was coming together again with Matthew in spirit. In fact, they all had come together again, including Missy and Fred, as well as Courtney and Gates. They appeared to have overcome life's pitfalls. Eventually, they all would reunite again, would come together in spirit with Missy and Matthew. Well, That's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.